Hey, this is Kyle Clark. You're listening to the podcast version of Next. Catch us live weeknights at 6 Mountain Time on 9 News and streaming live same time on 9 News Plus. Email me anytime at next@9news.com. Welcome in to a special edition of Next. Today, Governor Jared Polis' first press conference since he granted clemency to Tina Peters was weird, but that's not unusual for him, if you know what I mean. The governor announced an order on healthy foods, banning the use of taxpayer dollars to buy sugary drinks for state events and telling school cafeterias to use more local produce, which led to the governor facing reporters full of questions about Tina Peters with a mouth full of carrot.
It's official. Ready? While I chew on the carrot, any questions?
Yeah. Governor, have you spoken to the Trump administration or the president himself since Friday?
No.
Do you consider it a badge of honor to be censured by the Colorado Democrat Party?
Sorry?
Do you consider it a badge of honor to be censured by the Colorado Democrat Party?
I'm going to finish chewing my carrot. I can get out the word no, but I want to give a bigger one to that. Give me one moment. There we go. I wasn't buying time to think of an answer. I literally just didn't want to be spitting carrot all over the place while I was answering it.
The eyes of the nation are on Colorado's governor, and he's masticating a carrot for a solid minute on television. Once the carrot was safely on its journey through the governor's digestive system, he did answer questions, brushing off last night's formal condemnation and censure by the Colorado Democratic Party. And he even said that being banned now from speaking at party events will give him more free time. And of course, he defended his decision to free Tina Peters from prison less than 2 years into her 9-year sentence for leading a breach of Colorado's voting systems.
I have, as I said, a lot of events that I'm invited to, and so it doesn't mean I'm going to be getting home earlier. It just means I'll be able to attend more charity events, more hunger relief events, more education events, and that's exciting.
So a bunch of you have been asking, why did the governor rush to free Tina Peters from prison when a judge was just about to reconsider her sentence? And I think the answer is right there in front of us. The governor inserted himself before her resentencing because he was about to lose his rationale for turning her loose early. Because to hear Governor Polis talk about Tina Peters' case, you would think that she was imprisoned for her speech, for her views that elections are rigged. Governor Polis is unlikely to succeed in memory-holding why Tina Peters went to prison. The public knows full well that Peters committed felony and misdemeanor crimes, according to a jury of her peers, as she led a breach of her county's voting systems, an unsuccessful search for evidence of election rigging. The governor's concern about whether Peters' speech played a role in her sentence is very fair. The Colorado Court of Appeals flagged it as an issue and ordered her to be resentenced with zero regard to her free speech, and that is what was about to happen. But if the judge had reduced her 9-year sentence to, say, 7 or 6 years, keeping her in prison but making clear it had nothing to do with her speech, well, then the governor would have either had to call that judge a liar on the free speech issue or come up with another reason to free Tina Peters. Governor Polis had a narrow window to give clemency on grounds that were backed up by the appeals court ruling without risking Peters spending more time in prison, which Polis clearly did not want to happen. A cemetery plot is a promise of sports. You buy it, it's supposed to be there for your life and beyond. Get buried there and you are supposed to rest undisturbed for eternity. The city of Lafayette is finding those promises hard to keep. Our Spencer Soischer has the story.
My mom and dad are buried over there.
At this cemetery.
Our grandmother is buried just up here.
Kathy Erickson and her sister seem to know everyone.
Oh my goodness. He was a joker.
But Kathy is most eager to talk about her husband.
Can I tell you that I was 14 and he was 16 and we grew up together?
She wants to be buried next to him. She bought the plot years ago.
But then they told us, no, you can't be buried by him.
I'm in the same situation as Kathy. Why can't we be buried here?
Gary Posey and Kathy are friends, and two of the dozens of families caught in the middle of a life and death situation at the Lafayette Cemetery, where the city may permanently ban casket burials at its only cemetery because a ground-penetrating radar survey found so many unmarked graves they can no longer confidently identify open plots. In February, a burial hit another casket already in the ground. The state's archaeologist recommended the cemetery be closed.
I bought these plots 41 years ago when my son passed away.
Gary wants to be with his son and his wife, who passed a few years ago.
She's my best friend.
Now the city is offering plot owners a $1,500 refund or allowing cremations.
I do not want to be cremated. And my sister doesn't want to be cremated. Her husband is here, too.
Lafayette hasn't decided what it's going to do permanently. But Gary and Kathy want the city to handle burials on a case-by-case basis.
I want you to prove that there's not somebody laying in my spot.
So Lafayette used to be a smaller town before it grew more. Some of these neighbors have been calling each other when they found out about what's happening here, trying to get each other's attention. Hey, your plot may not be available, because they've had some problems reaching the people as well.
Yeah, because, again, cemetery plot is not something you check up on, right? You don't call and say, is it still there for me? You assume you buy it, it's there for life.
Yeah, 1985 was one of the cases here. I was negative 11. It's a long time. I don't think I'd be thinking about it a lot.
Understood. Well, you feel for all those families. All right, Spencer Soysher, thank you. And thank you for bearing with us here tonight. As you might have noticed, we're having some technical opportunities. Appreciation to the ACE team around here that found a way to get the show on the air, which I suppose is what really matters. Trump administration is giving the state more than $1 million to support the victims and the community impacted by the Evergreen High School shooting last year.
The money from the DOJ will be used to create counseling services, to create the Evergreen Resiliency Center, and to reimburse the Jeffco Sheriff's Office for overtime pay after the shooting. The funds will pay for a trauma recovery coordinator and another counselor at Evergreen High School and a halftime counselor at Wilmot Elementary, where some of the victims went during the shooting.
Nearly half of the people who travel through DIA these days are not here to stay, and of course nobody wants to miss their connection. Tonight, our Mark Salinger shows us how one airline is betting that AI can help.
At one of the busiest airports in the country, nearly half the people are coming, going, and not staying.
They arrive in from one city, they connect here in Denver, and they travel on to another destination.
About 80 million passengers fly through DIA every year. More than 35 million are only passing through.
60% of our customers who are traveling on United through Denver are connecting here.
United Airlines thinks they have a solution to stop people from missing their connections.
The system will tell us, can we hold that flight and still get them onto that original connecting flight while also not risking the customers that are already on board that aircraft and getting it to their destination on time?
It's called Connection Saver, an AI algorithm that analyzes everything from which gate an incoming plane is landing at to how long it takes to walk to the next one. Vincent Passifume is the Director of Airport Operations Customer Service for United here in Denver.
The algorithm will take into consideration everything about where that customer is arriving in from, what is the flight time associated with that, and how long can we hold it here in Denver and still get it down to their destination on time.
This is where I can see all the connection savers, potential connection savers.
Dom Pavlik is a customer service supervisor. With more than 550 flights and 60,000 customers flying United through Denver every day, it's his job to monitor which passengers are at risk of missing their flights and how long their connecting flights can be held for them to make it.
This will identify every single person that is going to misconnect, from where they're coming, which gate they're coming from, and roughly how much time they would need.
Millions of people fly through Denver every year.
This airport for us in our hub network is designed to connect customers throughout the country.
And no one wants to spend more time here than they have to.
So if someone is at risk of missing their connection, the United app will give them turn-by-turn directions as soon as they get off the plane to go to the next gate. Kyle, I can only imagine that it also says, like, run faster, get there. There's people waiting for you.
Get your head out of the phone, because people are going to be walking around with their heads on the phone trying to navigate through the airport.
54,000 connections they've saved, they say, in Denver this year so far.
That's an immense number of people coming through. All right. Mark Salinger, thanks for hanging out on a different kind of day.
I'm trying to make this chair a little bit taller. Nuts to you, but
chair is the least of our problems.
Debates here on 9 News. We are hosting the only scheduled debate with all three Republican candidates. State Senator Barb Kirkmeyer, State Rep Scott Bottoms, and Ministry Leader Victor Marks will debate live on 9 News 6 p.m. on Tuesday, June 2nd. Then, on Thursday, June 4th at 6 p.m., another commercial-free hour-long debate with the Democratic primary candidates, U.S. Senator Michael Bennett and Attorney General Phil Weiser. Don't forget, ballots hit the mail in early June for that June 30th primary. Xcel has a plan to lower your electric bills. They're asking to increase your bill again. And the town of Hudson almost made $1 million off a new speed camera. Then Steve on your side rode him like a rented mule.
We are forgiving all A-list tickets issued to date.
Get him, Steve!
Say what you will about local TV news. It's putting $1 million back in Coloradans' pockets. Next.
It's going to be a hot girl summer if Xcel has anything to say about it. Nothing like another electric rate hike to increase customers to sweat it out.
State regulators are considering Xcel's request to increase its revenue for electric service by about $355 million a year. The company says they need the money to pay for recent investments in expanding and maintaining the power grid. If this full rate hike is approved, the average residential bill would go up nearly 10% a month. That's about $10. And customer bills would be 33% higher than they were in 2023.
For the Public Utilities Commission are encouraging those regulators to reject Xcel's full request. PUC is expected to make a decision in the coming weeks. Let's do a welfare check on my friend meteorologist Chris Bianchi. Chris, how are things going in your part of the building? Things are going great here.
Things are going wonderfully out here as well. We do have some pretty busy weather, though. Eastern Plains, it is quite active with a couple of tornado warnings over the Eastern Plains, one in Logan County and one in Washington and also Kit Carson counties. These two storms have each produced localized reports of tornadoes. This one out here near Flagler, this is the one that has produced also teacup-sized hail. That's 3-inch diameter hail. That is massive hail, about 15 miles north of Flagler. So fairly rural areas, but of course, here in the path of this storm, there's the likely tornado in that red-green shaded area right there. That's where you're seeing that strongest indication of that possible tornado there. So next few hours, all this activity will push off to the east. However, we will still have some showers and storms through the evening. Denver, we did have a cold front move through about an hour ago. That front could trigger a few more showers and storms as we head through the rest of the evening. Tomorrow, a calmer day with a few leftover showers. Those will be mainly out over the Eastern Plains and south of Denver, but an isolated shower around for us in Denver for tomorrow as well. And then for the weekend, we will finally get rid of all this rain and just in time for the weekend and also Memorial Day itself. Looking drier and warmer with a high temperature in the low 80s for both Sunday and Monday. Showers and storms will return to the picture, though, next Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. And it does look like next week is going to be pretty active. Just a reminder, it is that time of year here, folks. So we're getting into severe weather season and certainly getting a reminder of that here tonight.
Our pesky consumer investigator just vaporized $1 million in speed camera tickets, but a town warns its video RoboCop will be back on the beat soon, writing new tickets. Hey, a reminder, you can catch Next streaming each night, 6 p.m. on 9 News Plus. And Next is a podcast wherever you find those.
City of Fort Morgan is starting to worry about the economic impact of the current lockout at the Cargill beef plant.
Yesterday, the company stopped 1,700 employees from coming to work after the union rejected their last contract offer. The union's asking for better pay and working conditions. There are about 12,000 people who live in Fort Morgan and 2,000 employees at that plant. The city manager, Brent Nation, tells us they expect the folks are obviously going to spend less money around town during this uncertainty.
That's the revenue that drives the city of Fort Morgan and allows us to do the things that we do. And so it worries me that they're not open right now.
Cargill says that they've moved all cattle to other facilities. They don't think that this is going to impact their production or customers. Company insists that its contract offer is fair and competitive. There are cities and towns in Colorado making bank off of photo radar tickets these days. And you know they hate to see Steve Steger coming because the man that the kids call Steve on your side asked questions about whether $1 million in tickets in Hudson up north were valid. And now, don't you know, the town is forgiving all of them.
Who's Bill been waiting for?
After 50 minutes behind closed doors seeking legal advice, Hudson's mayor and town council delivered a bit of a bombshell. A happy bombshell.
We are forgiving all Avis tickets issued to date with the northbound Mel County Road cameras.
The town council then voted to void and refund all tickets, all 31,000 tickets from a temporary camera on northbound County Road 49. Again, 31,000 tickets totaling $1.2 million. Written in the span of 42 days. Steve on your side has been asking questions about that camera, the same questions people who got tickets had.
WTF?
Like, why wasn't there a 30-day warning period required by state law? Or why was that camera plopped 400 feet shy of a 55-mile-an-hour sign in a 40-mile-an-hour zone, where the only sign of that is pretty far away? Hudson is now the second town in Colorado to void and refund speeding tickets after reporting from Steve on your side.
We are going to refund tickets.
This January, the town of Kersey canceled $1.1 million in hefty fines after our reporting showed they charged more than their law allowed.
Senate Bill 152.
That reporting led state lawmakers to pass a bill this session.
Concerning changes to the usage of automated vehicle identification systems.
Clarifying the rules for using these cameras.
Pass.
One moment.
The governor's still chewing on whether or not to sign it.
We ran a bill this year.
Republican State Senator Byron Pelton told the Hudson Council about that bill Wednesday night.
Just know that the speed cameras were under a lot of scrutiny, and we need to make sure that we stay transparent.
Hudson's transparency met with a lot of appreciation.
This is one case where you can lose a lot of trust from this community. Doing the right thing today says a lot about everyone in this room. Taking accountability, coming together.
I'm Steve Steger. Wait, is that the end? Maybe you, like me, wonder where that temporary camera went. There it is, 20 miles up the road in Kersey.
In an FAQ on their Facebook page today, the town of Hudson said that anybody with a northbound ticket that has not been paid can just disregard it. You no longer need to show up at your hearing to contest the ticket. Town manager is working on a plan to get refunds to all the people who have already paid. They'll present that to town council at their meeting on June 3rd. We are going to be back in just a moment with your feedback. This has gone well. Grab a bag of carrots. We'll be right back. Finished with your feedback on this adventure of an evening program tonight. Marshall, not the Marshall on the program, Marshall watching the program, says, I sort of like the news set tonight. Feels less formal, more welcoming. Brother man, you should have been with me in my basement during COVID. We hung out there for a good 18 months, and I wore shorts and flip-flops most nights. This a text. We watch your show religiously. So thankful your crew was able to find a way to be on the air tonight. So am I and the boss. To be honest with you, I actually like your studio setup better tonight than your usual. Can I tell you the one thing that absolutely no one here wants to hear? That you like this better than the normal setup. About things heard on this program tonight, Julie says, you said rode them like a rented mule. I'm proud of you. Not many people would know what that means. And Shirley writes in to say, masticating a carrot must be said very carefully, and you did well. That's it for us tonight. Here's the sign off.
Thanks for listening to the podcast version of Next. Catch us live weeknights at 6 Mountain Time on 9 News, streaming live same time on 9 News Plus. Email me anytime at next@9news.com. Next producer is Mallory Harris. Our digital producer is Marilyn Moore. Our visual editor is Jeff Sartell. Our reporters include Marshall Zellinger, Mark Salinger, Angeline McCall, and Evan Kruel. Misty Montano is 9 News' digital director. I'm Kyle Clark. I'll see you next time.